We're going to honour both the message and the person, the legacy left by Dr. Jerry Saville, passed away just on 12 months ago. He's the apostle of this house, welcomed us into the Heritage of Faith fold of churches and ministries where Christine and I have been pastors with Heritage of Faith for many years. But as a church, we joined just on 2 years ago and became a part of that. And as that, we welcome him as the apostle. The message and legacy that now he leaves is what we champion. When we were having prayer before the service, a scripture I'd never thought of in light of this just came to me, and I realized how applicable it was, apt it was just this moment. Book of Galatians, Paul had ministered amongst the Galatian churches, had great revival, many people saved, people come to the faith in Christ. And Paul said they were very welcoming. In fact, he said they loved him. They opened their hearts to his ministry. And the phrase he used is, if you could have taken out your eyes and given them to me, you would have. It just was an expression of, you'd do anything for me. You know, have you ever heard the expression, I'd cut off my right arm for you? This means that it means you'd give them, you're just so welcoming. And yet, sadly, Paul discovered that other ministers came in after he'd left, and for the next 12 months or so, they began to teach the people, listen, what Paul said was just opinion, but really what you need to do is follow the law and still trust in circumcision to make sure you're really right with God. Yes, you can trust in Jesus, but you need to do it through the law. And Paul said, that's nonsense. Jesus came to replace the law. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. The law could never make you righteous. It was never intended to. But he writes to them and he says, you know, what happened? What happened? He said, you, the people that loved me so dearly, would have done anything for me. He said, now you're embracing these false teachers. He said, I wish you had cut them off. And he said, very colourful language. Anyway, you can look that up yourself. And but he said, have I now, by speaking the truth to you, become your enemy? So they went from loving him, honouring him, to didn't want to hear what he had to say. So it tells me that you can honor a relationship and honor someone for the message they bring, but you also must keep that and maintain it and work on it. It just doesn't happen for life. It can change. And the message and the truth that Brother Jerry was such a was so blessed to bring to the world, their message is that we now have the responsibility of taking to a new level, bringing those messages to our generation, to our children, to our neighbours, to our workmates. And it's not, we're not preaching Brother Jerry's message. We're just, like Paul said, Paul actually called it my gospel. And we know it wasn't his gospel, but it was his gospel because he so fully embraced it. It was his message. And the same way as we embrace what Brother Jerry would say is his message, and we all know if he only got it from the Bible. He only got it from the Holy Spirit's revelation of the things that he saw. And we run with that because of that. And we add to it, we build to it in the sense of making it real to every generation. We keep getting his revelation. We keep getting fresh insight into the Word of God. We keep building on it. But we want to honor that because we don't want to be like that Galatian church that up and down, in and out, run one way, one, you know, just following the winds of whatever is coming new. We want to honour and say, Brother Jerry, we so appreciated his ministry, his love, his friendship, his connection to the church, but also we want to just celebrate the things that you've shared which have so ministered to us. In fact, the reason even right now, here's an example of it. When I came up and the presence of God was so rich and my task was, thank the worship team, send out the super kids, start this session. And ringing in my ears is what Brother Jerry says in a book of his. And he said, he's amazed when he goes to a meeting and the presence of God will be so real. And he's expecting the pastor just to stop and flow with the things of the Spirit. But instead, he'll just keep on preaching or keep on moving with the order of service. And he says, nothing wrong with the preaching, but he said, presence of God was there and it was a missed opportunity. And so when I came up here, the presence of God is real and the glory of God is here. I'm about to say, okay, thanks everybody, let's be seated. Super kids, why don't you head off? We're going to honor Brother Jerry and his message. My lightning quick brain says, maybe we ought to do what he says. The Holy Spirit's here. Let's flow with that. Let's do what the Holy Spirit says. And in fact, I've got about half a dozen copies of the book that came from. I think it's Chris, it says next to you. What's it called? Making Way? Making Room for the Holy Spirit. That has been a great book for me. I didn't even realize that when I was got up to prepare this morning for this meeting and the way I went about my preparation, I suddenly realized it came from that book. Years ago, reading that book helped me how to get ready in the Holy Spirit. And I thought that what I planned and prepared in terms of my whole morning had actually been birthed out of Brother Jerry's example in showing how to make way for the Holy Spirit. So I love this wonderful message that he shared, that it becomes practical. It's become part of our lives and become enabled us to walk in the favor and the fullness of what God has. So we're going to take some time now just to honor the different ways that God has used Brother Jerry to speak to us and how that message continues to shape us and frame us. And you'll see that in our lives. You'll see that in our church culture. You'll see that in the miracles and the stories that we have to tell. So we as a team breakthrough are going to take four or five people and we're going to say, how did Brother Jerry's message on just one thing in particular, because you've got a time limit, all right, everybody? I'm making way for the Holy Spirit, but everyone else is going to... Hallelujah. We're gonna share because there's so much we want to get by. So, Caitlin, why don't you come and just honor Brother Jerry's legacy and share something the Lord has particularly stirred on your heart.
Amazing. Thank you so much. It's such an honor to be able to share today. Excuse my voice, but thank you, Lord, that I've received my healing and my voice is going to get stronger throughout this meeting. Thank you. Amen. Well, actually, before I share, I would love to introduce, and we're going to show a video really quick, because I don't know, maybe you've never heard of Dr. Jerry Siville's teaching. Maybe you've come this morning, you're online, and you've never heard of his teaching. We'd love to introduce you to who this incredible apostle of God was and the impact that he's had. So we're just going to share a really short clip, goes for about 5 minutes, of one of his messages called the Battle, Destined to Win, and then I'm going to speak to it for a few minutes. And then we're going to invite others up to share. So I don't know if the team can show that on the screen there and just be blessed by his sermon here.
He said, in the world you shall have tribulation. I said, what's the next word, sir? But. I said, you say but? But. I said, sir, the word's but. I'm not an English scholar, but I do know but is a conjunction. And I'll tell you what that means. He's not through talking. Thou shalt not stop reading. Amen. I said, so what's it say after but? But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I said, sir, that's your problem. You're identifying with what comes before the word but. You're not identifying with what comes after the word but. And what comes after the word but changes everything. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus never said you wouldn't have challenges. He never said you wouldn't have trials. He never said you wouldn't be tested. In fact, he said you would. But that's not where it ends. He said, in the world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Now, that doesn't have quite the same impact as the way the Amplified reads. Listen to this. Once again, in the world you will have tribulation, trials, and distress, and frustration, but be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, be certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world, listen to this, and I have deprived it of its power to harm you. I have deprived it of its power to harm you. What is Jesus saying? Yes, you will have challenges. Yes, you will have tests. Yes, you will be engaged in battle. But be of good cheer. I have deprived every test, every trial, every challenge of its right and its ability to overcome and conquer you. Hallelujah. What is he telling us? You've been called to battle, but you've been destined to win. And failure and defeat is not in your future. Hallelujah. You may be in the greatest battle right now you've ever been in your life. You may feel like you can't stand anymore. You've done all you know to do, and yet you don't see anything working in the natural. That is always an indication you got the devil right where you want him. He has just fired his best shot. You're still standing, and you're going to win. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. Amen. I've been there. I know. Hallelujah. I've been there many times. I've been at the place where I felt like I couldn't stand anymore. But I refused to say out of my mouth, I can't take anymore. I can't take anymore. I'd rather cuss than say that. And I don't cuss. For me to say I can't take anymore is to slap Jesus in the face and say, your blood didn't work. The cross didn't work. Calvary didn't work. It did work. And I can take anything the devil can dish out. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't ever say again, I can't take anymore. You can take anything the devil can dish out. You're not a worm. You're the righteousness of God. You're not a loser. You're a winner. Hallelujah. The blood of Almighty God flows through your veins. You're a champion in Christ. Now shut up the whining. Get out of that pity party. Pick yourself up and tell the devil, I declare a state of war. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. Glory. Defeat is not in my future. Failure is not in my future. I might get knocked down along the way, but my favorite verse is Micah chapter 7, verse 8. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. It's not over because you get knocked down. It's not over because you have a setback. It's not over because you have a temporary setback. It's not over until you triumph. Hallelujah. The Bible says, a righteous man falleth seven times, but riseth again. Hallelujah. My philosophy is, if the devil knocks you down seven times, get up eight. You have the last say, not the devil. Hallelujah. Failure is not in your future. Defeat is not in your future. Hallelujah. Quit giving place to it in your mind. Quit giving place to it in your mouth. Quit talking failure. Quit talking defeat. Quit talking I can't take anymore. Quit telling your manager, cut the gloves off. You keep the gloves on and tell the devil, it's not over until I say it's over. And it's not over till I win. Come on, shout somebody. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah!
Amen. Praise. Can you give the Lord a shout of praise? Amen. It was something special when Brother Jerry was preaching and you could just feel the anointing of God hit him. Amen. Well, today I have the honor of sharing something I've learned from Dr. Jerry Seville. If you haven't met me, my name is Caitlin, one of the team here. And it's really hard, as Pastor Peter said, to share just one thing because there is so much of his teaching that has transformed my life. I completed his Bible school where the truths we learned were foundational for my spiritual life. But it's not just his teaching, it was who he was. I feel like I almost learned more just from seeing the way he lived, the way he forgave, the way he interacted with people, the way he constantly gave and gave and gave, the way he lived what he preached. But if I had to pick one sermon that changed my life, it's that one right there. It's called, I'm going to cry, it's called To Battle, the name of the sermon is We Are Called to Battle, But We're Destined to Win. So we just showed a small clip of that sermon. But without exaggeration, I've listened to this sermon hundreds and hundreds of times. I can quote portions of it. Whenever I'm feeling discouraged or like giving up, I know I need to turn off the TV or turn off social media, turn off the external noise and just listen to this sermon and let the words bring life to my spirit. Why? Because in this teaching, Brother Jerry reminds me to do three things. I think we've got a slide that can come up. So just three things he reminds us to do in this. Number one, he reminds me to get back up. He reminds me, like we've just heard, to get out of the pity party. Honestly, this is one of the biggest challenges and things that has helped me, because I believe self-pity is one of the devil's greatest strategies in our culture. Self-pity is defined as excessive, self-absorbed unhappiness over one's trouble. So quickly in a situation, the enemy loves me or all of us to start feeling sorry for ourselves. You know, so quickly, when I'm walking through a challenge, I hear myself saying things like, why do I have to go through this? Or I don't deserve this. Or of course this happens to me. Poor me. Poor me, 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 me. So quickly you get absorbed in the trouble and focusing on me and feeling sorry for myself. But I love in this sermon that Brother Jerry doesn't coddle, he doesn't patronize, and he doesn't say things like, I understand how you feel and you have a right to feel like that. Even though that's what we want to hear at that time. But no, I listen to this because, like you've just heard, Brother Jerry doesn't hold back. He doesn't coddle our feelings. He cuts it right at the core. He doesn't hold back. He tells me outright to quit the whining and the complaining, to get out of my pity party, to get back up and declare a state of war against the enemy. He speaks from his favorite scripture, like he just said, Micah 7, verse 8, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. So number one, I listen to this because it reminds me to get back up. Number two, he reminds me to keep going. He reminds me of how strong I am in God and that I can get up and keep fighting. He reminds me that I'm not a quitter. You know, right in those moments, I might be feeling so weak. I might be feeling so done, overwhelmed, defeated, discouraged, and like I can't take it anymore. I don't know if you've ever felt like that. I'm sure everyone here has. But yet I'm reminded when I listen to this that my strength is in the Lord. And I am stronger than the enemy is making me believe I am in that moment. He reminds me that in God, I am strong. I am victorious in him. Brother Jerry says a line that speaks to me so much. Like, I think we just heard it there. He said, I can take anything the devil can dish out. I can take anything the devil throws at me because in God, I am strong and I can keep going. I can keep facing this attack. I can keep going after all that God has called me to. In Ephesians 6:10, it says, I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And I know for a personal fact that Brother Jerry didn't just speak these words, he lived them. He put them into practice time and time again. So, number two, like I said, I listen to this when I'm feeling discouraged because number one, he tells me to get back up. Number two, he reminds me to keep going and the strength that I am strong in the Lord and I am strong in him. And number three, finally, he reminds me not to just to get back up, but to take ground, to not let the devil win. Brother Jerry teaches me not to constantly be in a state of defense, but to take a stance of offense, to start taking the ground that God has fought for us and bought for us. He shifts my focus and my stance. He puts me back in a place of victory and attacking. So number one, to get back up. Number two, to keep going. And number three, to actually take ground and to not just feel like I need to be in defense. So I would love to encourage you today, Maybe you're feeling discouraged, like you just can't take any more. Be blessed by the truths of this sermon. With God, you are victorious. Don't fall into the trap of self-pity or discouragement, even though it feels nice and justified to stay there. Get back up, declare war on the enemy. You know what, this message, we've actually got on the seats here and on the screen, there'll be a QR code for those online. Also, you can go to our website, breakthrough.org.au, and you'll be linked to it on the homepage. But we've put together, our team Breakthrough have put together some sermons, some of our favorite sermons at Brother Jerry. So I'd love encourage you to go have a look at them. There'll be some more added in over the coming days and hours as well. But on that webpage is this message. But there's also a 15-minute clip on YouTube where it's just the part of it that is like really just tells me to get back up. And I listened to that and it's just a 15-minute clip and I would love to invite you to look at that and have that ready, because next time you're feeling discouraged, maybe you just need a 15-minute pick-me-up from Brother Jerry reminding you to get back up, to keep going and to take ground. I encourage you next time you're feeling discouraged, and I would like to thank Brother Jerry for this teaching that has truly transformed my life. So let me leave you with a quote from this sermon. Don't ever let me hear come out of your mouth that you can't take anymore. You can take anything the devil can dish out. Don't take the gloves off. You keep the gloves on and tell the devil you declare a state of war, because we are called to battle and destined to win, and failure and defeat are not in our future. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'd love to invite Mark's going to come up and share now. But something that Brother Jerry's taught him. Thank you.
Good morning, all. Praise God. What an honor to share about Brother Jerry. Praise God. I grew up listening to Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and they've impacted my life from a young teenager. I remember the first time I went to see Brother Jerry Savelle, and in person it was at Crossway Church back in the 90s, the early 90s. And I went up with my nana, my mum, and a couple of other ladies from church. And it was the first sermon I heard live from Brother Jerry, and it has impacted me and served me all of my Christian walk, and I just wanted to share what I got out of that. I actually titled it Resist the Devil and He Will Flee, but it's really After Doing All to Stand, like Jerry After Doing All to Stand Savelle, which sort of ties in really well with what Brooke's probably going to talk about a little bit later. The definition of stand, to take up or maintain a specified position or posture, to maintain one's position. And then I've got Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. He's unchanging. There's something very rock solid about that. So to stand, maintain one's position. We'll talk about sickness this morning. When sickness comes, we have to take a stand. We don't just sit down and have a pity party like Caitlin was saying. We need to take a stand. The next scripture I've got is James 1:5-8. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. It'll be given to you, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all his ways. So we know Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever. We know the definition of what to stand in is, to maintain one's position, take a stand. Now I've got Ephesians 6:13-14. Therefore, put on the full armour of God. Well, there's a hint there that we must be going into battle. Put on the full armour of God. I wonder why. So that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after done everything to stand, stand firm. With your feet, oh sorry, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. What's the belt of truth? What God says about us. What does God say about us? We were healed. We were whole. We are blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, the belt of truth, and then what comes next? The breastplate of righteousness. We are the righteousness of God because of what Jesus did. Now, I just wanted to get two volunteers. We got two strong-looking people. Oh, here we go. Jay and Cam, there we go. Now, this is an illustration Brother Jerry gave on that day. We need you to face each other, standing, and I want Jay to put his hands on Cam's shoulders and push him. There we go. So now I want you stand. You're facing each other like you are friends. Now I want you to face him like your sickness, and you would face him like you're going to stand against it. And I want you to resist as he tries to push. What's happening? What are you doing, Cam? What else are you doing? Pushing back. Pushing back. Now, in James, it says, therefore, submit to God. So we submit to God, to what he says about us. We know what he says. Resist the devil. Now, when you push back, you're pushing back. You're meant to be fleeing, running in terror. Now, it doesn't stop there, because we've got a part to play in that. When we submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. So there should be now an image in our mind of Satan running in terror from us. Yeah, we need to see that when we stand against what's coming at us. So resisting took effort. It took strength. And then we should see Satan running, fleeing from us in terror. I think Kathy Hagen said that he searched some dictionaries, some big dictionaries, and he wanted to see what resist the devil looks like. And one of them said running or fleeing in terror. And that's what I try and imagine now. When I resist Satan coming at me with thoughts, with sickness, with lack, I just see him running in terror.
Yeah,
God said his people perish for lack of knowledge. The scripture that says, study the word to show thyself approved, rightly dividing the word of God. So we need, our job is also to know what the word says. And a wonderful way of doing that is watching sermons from Brother Jerry. Because it causes you to go into the Word and go, does that say that? And you study it, and then you rightly divide it, and you go, yeah, God's will is for me to be in wholeness. God's Word is for me to prosper. God's Word is for me to be victorious. God's Word is for me to fight. I love that Brother Jerry loves a good boxing match. I love boxing too. And, you know, we are called to battle. Fight the good fight of faith. So stand up, resist the devil, and watch him flee.
Praise God, I may grab a tissue.
Why?
Because I'm me. Oh, stand. Hallelujah. When I will try to get through without crying, but if I don't, that's okay. I won't. Because when I was asked to share about a message of Brother Jerry's, I really struggled because I literally have every book he's ever written, and there's over 70 of them. And I listen have listened to his messages since I was 15. I'm now 61, so that's a long time of listening to his ministry. And even now, I don't think there'd be a day go by that I don't listen to him at some point. I may not specifically sit down and listen to him, but I'm a huge advocate of, you know, of making sure that I'm filling the atmosphere in our home with faith. And so when I'm doing housework, I'm doing washing, whatever I'm doing, I'll have a message on in the background. I may not be sitting down and taking notes, but I'm listening to it consistently. I go to sleep every night listening to Brother Jerry preach. I've done that for many, many years. And that so that the last words that are going through my mind are faith-filled words. And so to pick a message just or a truth just seemed really hard. And one of the things the Lord really brought back to me, when I was praying this morning, he kept telling me, he said, take a step back. He said, there's a lot of amazing messages that Brother Jerry has preached that have changed my life. He's known for speaking on the favor of God. That became his, you know, kind of like landmark message. Everybody, signature message. Everybody used to call him Mr. Favor. If Satan can't steal your joy, he can't keep your goods. His messages on joy, on resisting the devil, on having done all to stand, stand. There are so many. But one of the things God told me to share, and so this is just slightly different, but rather than a message, is the fact that because we had the honour and the joy of knowing the man personally, we knew the man behind the message, and he lived a life that qualified him to preach that message. He lived a life that qualified him to be able to resist the enemy. He didn't just stand on the platform and preach it. He lived it. He lived a life of integrity. He lived a life of honesty. He lived a life of generosity. And he made sure that the man behind the pulpit was no different to the man on the pulpit. And that's so important because all of us here this morning and anybody who's listening to this, you can take his messages. But if you're not living a life behind the scenes, you won't get the same results. And knowing him for so long, as I said, I was introduced to his ministry when I was 15 years old. I was going through some stuff in my life, and I'd gone up to Sydney with my parents for a holiday. I walked in this tiny little Christian bookshop just off George Street in Sydney, and I saw this book, Giving Birth to a Miracle, Jerry Saville. It cost $1.75, and I never heard Jerry Saville's name, didn't know anything, but I needed a miracle, and I bought it, and I read it, and I reread it, and I read it, and I read it until it fell apart. And I put it back together and I read it more, and then I bought a second copy because the first one was so fallen apart. And it really helped me. But then as the years went on and I began to connect with his ministry in America by getting cassettes sent over once a month, and that I'd save up money and once a month I'd send over a check and get cassettes. Some of you are young, you don't know what they are. And that, but you know, that getting them sent over and I'd listen to them. And then finally, through God supernaturally connected us with him. The meeting that Mark spoke about was the very first meeting we ever hosted, when the very first time he ever actually came to Australia under his own ministry, not with Brother Copeland. And that started a friendship which then lasted for his entire life. But during that time, I got to see him. We stayed with them in their house. We got to see him behind the scenes, and I saw a man that never gave up. I saw a man that didn't criticize. I saw a man that walked in love even when people had done some atrocious things to him. I saw a man that took his teachings seriously, and they were not Sunday teachings. And that's got to be part of his legacy. That's got to be something that we grab a hold of, because you can read his books, but you need to live the life that backs it up. And two of the things I just wanted to highlight, one of them was his humility. And he was a very, very humble man. And there was nothing beneath him. There was nothing beneath him to do. And I shared this with the pre-service prayer, the team this morning. We have pre-service prayer. I said, there was something to me, and I've actually got the photo. I will cry, but you can put it up for me if you can. Thanks. Josh. That photo was taken in our church 2 years ago. And we had hosted Brother Jerry's meetings, and then we were hosting a special VIP luncheon for him in one of the rooms after the meeting. And there was partners and the, you know, president, cabinet members. There was a lot of very high up people that were coming to that. And then a lot of people that probably would have been big givers or big donors. And that, and as we had a buffet, and as Brother Jerry got his food, he looked over and there was our three-year-old grandson sitting on his own. And there's all these big people around, but he went over and he sat with Levi. And he said to me, Levi was on his own. I didn't want to leave him there. So he sat and they discussed Levi's ham sandwich, which I think he's holding in his hand, and why he would only eat a ham sandwich. And that, and then when partners wanted to come and meet him, he asked them to come and sit with him and kept Levi at the table the whole time. And I saw a man that was not too big. He was not chasing the dollars. He wasn't chasing the partners. He wasn't trying to impress people. He cared about the little kid. He cared about the three-year-old. And that was something that we saw consistently. Even if you'd go shopping with him, he would see the unseen. I've seen him with my own eyes just go and give money to somebody who's sitting on a bench the side in the shopping centre in Dallas, just walk up and just put money in their hand and then go off. No big fanfare, because he saw value in people. He saw the unseen, but he was so humble. And that's a picture I love. It's not a great picture, but it's a picture which speaks to me about why I loved his ministry, because I saw what he was like behind the scenes. And, you know, I just really want to encourage you that if we want to see the results of the messages, let's make sure that our lives behind the scenes are lives that qualify us for that. And, you know, one other testimony that we were many years ago, they shared with us, they'd gone through a horrific situation in their ministry, in their family. And they were telling us when it was passed. You know, they said, this is what happened. Da-di-da told us the story. And this is now, you know, what God has done. And then as they were talking, I suddenly realized, I said, when did you find out about this happening? And he'd actually found out when he was in Melbourne with us in the middle of a three-day crusade. And he'd had a phone call from home to let him know what had happened. We were with him those 3 days, night and day, literally, like, not as in the room. I'm just saying, like, he was doing the meetings at night. We would be spending all day with him. Never once did I have any idea what the man was going through in his personal life. He was joyful. He was faith-filled. He was positive. He was speaking exactly like he speaks on that, not telling us anything that he was going through. And when we took him to the airport, he's getting on a plane to go home to face a situation which would have rocked anybody. But he still, when he left, there was nothing that gave me the appearance, because he believed God's word and he lived it. He stood it. And you know that this particular little book of his, Giving Birth to a Miracle, I go back and I reread it. I now have 3 copies of it. And one of them I actually got him to write in, because I said it was such a significant book for me. But he teaches you how to conceive a miracle, how to carry the miracle through, and then how to give birth to it and not abort it because of the enemy's tactics. The simplest little book, but such a powerful thing. And I love it because I will always go back to it. I'll always go back to his teachings, because I know that they're true, I know that they work, but I know the fact that I need to make sure my life away from here is the same kind of life that Brother Jerry lived. If I want to see the favour of God, if I want to resist the enemy, if I want to give birth to miracles, if I want to, having done all, to stand, then I need to ensure that everything else in my life is also right. I'm not just taking a man's message and running with it. I'm actually saying, I want to be that person. I want to be that person of integrity. I want to be that person that sees the little kid and realises that, you know what, there's people over there that could probably really benefit my ministry. But there's a 3-year-old kid over there on his own eating a ham sandwich. Why don't I go? And I'll go and I'll sit with him. You know, when everybody else ignored him, it was the man of God or the man of the moment in there that people were seeing that went to sit with him. And that I want to be known to be that kind of person, because I believe that qualifies me then to be able to walk in the anointing and the that he did. So that's me. And I'll leave the tissues up.
I feel like it was really unfair putting that photo up before I speak. I just want to say that. I am so honored to be speaking today. If you haven't met me before, my name is Brooke, Pastor Peter and Pastor Christine's daughter. And I first met Dr. Seville when I was about 6 months old or so. So one of my favorite, most precious photos is me as a little baby in his arms when I was first meeting him, not knowing who he was and the impact that he was going to have on my life. You know, growing up, we would always talk about Brother Jerry, and apparently I genuinely thought he was my brother, so I told everyone that I had two older brothers, but one of them didn't live at home. And I'm so blessed that he's just always been a constant part of my life. At age 14, I was the youngest graduate of the Jerry Seville Bible College, and I got to go in my gown and my cap. And another precious photo is him beaming with pride when he said, he's like, here's the little girl walking out with all the adults because I'd completed the Bible College. And so I'm so honored to be speaking today. And I've written pretty much a transcript to read because I didn't know how I was going to go to speak. And I thought I needed a backup just in case. And so if I break down in tears, which might happen, and that's okay, it just proves how dear this man was and the impact he had on my life and how much I miss him. But when I was asked to share about a characteristic of his that's impacted my life, and I struggled to pick just one because his ministry has really shaped so much of my life. I've listened to him preach every day since I was about 10 years old. I've read all his books, and especially growing up as a child and as a teenager into a young adult, it was really his teaching was very foundational to helping me discover God for myself. And his teaching, his Bible school, really helped me when I was developing my own relationship with God. A lot of it was thanks to his ministry helping me get on the right path. And I was trying to choose which to do, but then there was one that just came up in my heart repeatedly, was his teaching on having done all to stand, which is taken from Ephesians 6:13. And Dr. Seville taught us that quitting is never an option. And when you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, quitting is never on the cards. It doesn't matter how many times you seem to fail, you don't give up. It doesn't matter how much resistance you face, you don't give up. And what I'd like to focus on today, it doesn't matter how much time passes, you don't give up. When God gives you a dream, when God gives you a promise or a vision for the future, you believe it, you hold on, and you take steps of faith, and you don't give up. As time passes, as the days turn into months or years or even decades, you don't give up. And, you know, when I was reflecting this week about the anniversary, there was something which rose on my heart. And if I could be really vulnerable with you all right now, you know, there are some things that I'm believing for, promises which God gave me, dreams in my heart for the future. And they've been dreams of my heart for a really, really, really long time. And as the days have turned into months and years and even decades, they've just remained on my vision board. And because of how long some of these visions have been on my heart, I'm very careful about who I share them with. Because I know that there are people who, if I told them what I'm believing for, the questions would be like, oh, you know, really? But, well, what progress have you seen? okay, well, what have you got to show for all these years that you've been wanting this dream, this vision? And whether out of mocking or whether genuine concern, I know that there are a lot of people who would try to tell me maybe it's time to move on from those dreams. Maybe it's time to move on from those visions and start to get a more attainable picture for the future. And one of the strategies which I've used for a while, but I hadn't really realized that it was a genuine strategy I was using till this week when I was reflecting, was often in the times when I've myself have looked at the time that's passed in these visions and I begin to feel either embarrassed or confused or concerned and feel the temptation to say, maybe it's time to move on. Maybe it is time to, you know, reassess my vision and maybe redefine it to find a more attainable version of this dream. And every time I've thought that, I often imagine myself sitting down with Dr. Seville and sharing my dreams with him. And I imagine a conversation and what his response would be. And because I know with every ounce of my being, his response would not be, well, how long has it been? Or haven't you tried enough times? Haven't you knocked on enough doors? When are you going to move on with the rest of your life? Now, I know his response would be, well, having done all to stand. Don't give up. Quitting is not an option. And I can imagine the pain and disappointment in his eyes if I told him I was giving up on any dream. I can imagine how much his heart would squeeze if I told him, actually, Brother Jerry, I'm giving up. I can't hold on. I can't stand any longer. And, you know, that's been a genuine strategy, is actually picturing the disappointment I would see in his eyes if I told him, I've waited for enough years. I think it's time just to move on. Because I know he would be so disappointed because he fully believes that God can come through and he fully believes that God can make a way. And, you know, I'm incredibly, incredibly blessed and grateful to have had a personal relationship with him and Miss Carolyn. And I've had the opportunity to share many of my big dreams with them. And, you know, it didn't matter how many years passed without those dreams coming to pass. He just kept believing and praying with me. He would constantly encourage me about how he believed my dream was just around the corner. He would share how convinced he was that God was going to make a way where there seemed to be no way. You know, he never doubted that God would bring them to pass, and time never deterred him. And, you know, for the sake of time this morning, I won't show it now, but on the special webpage we're doing, I'm going to be uploading a short story he shares of when he was believing for his very first airplane and how he was believing and believing and believing and nothing was happening, nothing was happening, nothing was happening. And just the concept and him sharing how he just had to keep standing, keep taking steps of faith, keep doing things which the world would say, you look like you've lost your mind because there's no, why would you do that? But it's because he was saying, I'm so convinced that God's going to come through. And so I'm going to be uploading that later today. And because every time I feel the temptation to quit, I'll often go back and watch it. And his determination, tenacity, and faith can encourage me to just keep on standing. And, you know, something that really ministers to me as I begin to close is that growing up, Dr. Seville was, in his own words, a quitter. He said he grew up, he just quit everything. The moment there was resistance, he would quit. He quit college multiple times. He quit jobs multiple times. He quit anything the moment he felt resistance or it got hard. He said he would quit and say, oh, I'll just do something else. And yet when he surrendered his life to Jesus and committed his future to living for him, that all changed. Not only did Jesus help him to get free from the addiction of quitting, he turned him into someone now known around the world for standing strong. And now here I am standing on a stage on the other side of the world sharing how his refusal to quit has changed and shaped my life. That's the legacy of Dr. Seville, to help people become the winner in life that God's called them to be. It doesn't matter who you are, what your story is, or what your life looks like right now. God can turn it all around and make you the winner he's destined you to be. Even taking a quitter and turning them into someone who, having done all to stand, stands. Now, I'd love to invite you all to stand for just a moment as we just sing one of Dr. Seville's favorite songs. And I will genuinely be praying that we can get through this song. You know, this song perfectly captures his heart and his approach to life, which was declaring the goodness of God. And there's a line in the song that says, "Your goodness is running after me." And Dr. Seville often shared that one of the keys that helped him never give up or quit was the deep assurance, belief, and confidence he had in God's goodness and that it was running after him every single day. And he had an amazing quote he preached on where he said, "God is always working behind the scenes." And it was that belief which anchored his faith and gave him strength to keep standing. Why would you give up if you truly believed God was working behind the scenes and his goodness was in pursuit of you, even in this very moment? So as we sing together, I encourage you to bring to mind the dreams and visions that God has placed in your heart for your life, your family, your career, your future, for this church, for this region. And firstly, I want you to imagine what would Dr. Seville say to you if he were right here, right now. Picture him urging you, don't give up, wait for God to showcase his faithfulness. Having done all to stand, stand. Quitting is not an option. And secondly, I want you to picture God, our Heavenly Father, working behind the scenes right now and his goodness chasing after you. So let's sing this together.
Die.
the goodness of God. So I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. I appreciate so much how we hear about not just the message, but also the heart of the man through this. I do remember after the first time we had Brother Jerry come, and how cool is that, that Mark was touched by that meeting, and that was years before we knew of Mark and the family, but we'd already made that connection, and I didn't realize that till this week when we were making the preparations, that that was a meeting, and we're like, Crossroads, well, we hosted that meeting, so how good was God? And I appreciate that after those meetings, and our children obviously young, and we're taking him back to the airport, and we said to the kids, "Well, what do you think? Kids are really good for being brutally honest at times. You know, you give, you know, if your dog likes you and kids like you, you know you're doing well, okay in life. If people like you, you never know, you know, because they could be." They could say things. You know the scripture that says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Well, that's actually a warning in Proverbs not to take people at their word. You know, like he said, you know, someone says, I'll do this for you, but what he's thinking in his heart is what you've really got to find out. And sometimes people will, you know, so that's what the essence. So adults say, oh, you know, you're amazing. And they go, nah. Didn't like him at all, you know, they can say. But kids tend to be pretty brutal with their, if you ever ask a child, what do you think of my haircut? You'll know what they think of your haircut. What do you think of my, and even without being invited, sometimes they'll make an opinion on you, you know. Why do you sing funny, Grandpa? You know. Grandpa, why isn't your circle nice and round, you know? You know, the kids. We said, "What do you think of Brother Jerry?" And they said something, words to this effect: "The man that's on the video is even nicer than that one." In other words, in person, he was even better than the one we've been watching for all these years. Because for all these years, they've seen him only through, back then videos. But they said the real person. He's even better. I reckon that's a high commendation because kids see through all the fluff. Kids see through the pretense. Because often, if you're trying to impress people, like Christine said, you ignore the kids because they're not going to give you any benefit. You know, there's nothing there for them. But they were valued just because of he loved people. And so I think that was always a real, because we couldn't say that about everybody we've met in the Christian world and every minister that we've, thankfully everyone who's come here and we've had, minister, we've had a great run. But, you know, over the years, our children have been exposed to people that were a little bit different on the stage as they were off the stage. And we've got to walk them through that. That's part of how to deal with that disappointment. But the people that were the keys, the champions in our life, it was wonderful that the kids knew them behind the scenes and said, they're just as real, they're just the same, there's no two levels. So I want to honour Brother Jerry and Miss Carolyn because that is no small thing and I don't take it for granted that he was off the stage full of integrity as much as when he was preaching and we could testify to that through all the dealings with him. So I appreciate that message. I appreciate that we've been able to speak about the things he said. This week, Christine and I have been listening to a message. Like she said, sometimes we have two or three messages. We have one going on the upstairs. We have a TV in our room, which we use to play messages. And so we'll put a message on there, and we have one downstairs. So sometimes you've got two messages on the go. And then I come in, I'll say something, oh, where did Brother Jerry say that? And we've got to work out which message was it. And which. The other day I said, I'm in the study and I'm listening and I come down, or I'm watching, and later on I said, I want to see that scripture. I need that scripture that he quoted, but I didn't write, you know, I was just listening. Now I need that scripture, but we're into another message. So I said to Christine, we need to go back and find that scripture, because I'm, you know, I've never heard that scripture before, you know, and I want to. And we went back and we went through over and over. We went through that message two or three times. She says, I'm sure it's this one. And she said, that was the suit he was wearing. And then she says, that's the suit he's wearing, because it was, you know, that was the 2013 Southwest Believers Convention. And we watched it. Did you know he preached more than once at the 2013 Southwest Believers Convention? And he wore a similar suit. You know, there was the dark blue one and the light grey one. But we won't worry about that. We have a little bit of difference of opinion how similar they were. But then we discovered, oh, if you watch the one where he's wearing the light grey or the mid-grey suit, there's the scripture. And so that's the one. So we appreciate we're having the message. But it was a message we discovered this week. And Christine said to me, have you heard this before? And I said, I don't think so. It was a really good message, talking about Isaac and Abraham, where he said, the Lord will provide. And speaking about the Lord going ahead and making provision. And he was giving examples on it. And it was a message. I don't know whether we can put the link to if it's not already on there, we'll put it on the that website that you've got the code for. If you don't even have to worry about the code, if you just go on our Breakthrough website, on the homepage, scroll down and you'll see there's a link there. So you can go to this. We'll put that message there. I had never heard this message before. I was like, not just I hadn't heard him preach at this place before. Sometimes you hear him preach at a, you know, one, but he's just combining other truths I've heard him share at other places. But I'd never heard him sharing on these truths. And I'm like, oh, this is gold. This is really good. And like, he should have written a book on this one. He should have preached this at the conventions. Like, he had obviously, this was just one of those messages that I don't know how often he preached it, but that place got a real gem. But it also made me miss him. It made me miss him when I realized he brought out some wonderful truths and just wonderful ways of sharing and great passion for God. So, yeah, it made me miss him a bit, thinking getting something fresh was like just a little special treasure in the middle of. Ah, he's up in heaven now and enjoying fresh revelation every day, the glory of God. He lived for the presence and glory of God. He lived his whole life to glorify God. In fact, it's one thing that's really stood out to me through his life was he was just genuinely passionate, not just when he got up on the stage, but when no one was around, he would just genuinely love getting revelation from the Word of God. He would prioritize and give the Lord place. If the Lord was speaking, he would put other things aside to give that time to him. He would be, I remember hearing him tell the stories when I think he was listening to the Oral Roberts. He got copies of the old Oral Roberts tent crusades. And he'd be playing them in his hotel room. And he said he'd watch till he got so excited he'd have to get up and go for a run. And he'd run around the pool of the motel where he was staying. Like, this is when his early days. This is, you know, staying in some small motel, you know, where they have the little pool outside. He'd just get so excited, he'd run around. Yes, and then he'd get that off and come back and watch some more. Get excited again. He generally just loved and got excited by the Word of God and the things of God. And he was passionate for them. So I take that as a great challenge to me. That's normal. That's normal. That's normal. That's not strange. That's normal. I've been listening to a lot of Andrew Womack recently. He has a phrase. He says, people think I'm weird. He says, no, you're weird. He often says, you're weird. And he says it so often. And it's been getting to get into me a little bit, because you know what? Sometimes when you follow Jesus and you get passionate and you feel a little bit like the one who stands out. You're a bit weird. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not weird. Everyone else is weird. You know, running, getting so excited, you've got to shout a little bit. Well, that's normal. It's weird that you don't love the Word of God as much as I do. It's weird that you don't run around the room when you get fresh revelation. It's weird that you don't want to tell everybody. It's weird that you're not looking for every opportunity. It's weird that you're getting up and what's on your mind is to put another message on and listen. People say, you're weird. No, you're weird. This is what God calls the normal. This is the normal. And so I love the fact that he makes it normal to be just sold out for God, just to be... to find the thing that excites you. And we could have spoken about many other aspects. The fact he was so honorable to men. He honored Brother Copeland. He honored Oral Roberts, men who were his mentors. He showed them great honor. He was very humble. So many great qualities. One aspect, if you could pass them up. I thought this was an old book that I'd discovered a number of years ago now. I actually had a look this morning. It was only published in 2017. So it's more of a recent book. I don't know why, I just thought it was a classic book that I'd sort of stumbled across. It's called Making Room for the Holy Spirit. It's just more of a booklet than a book. But I read this every now and again because it really challenges and stirs me, because it talks about how he gives place to the Holy Spirit and prepares, so he makes room so that when he's ministering or walking through life or going through problems and facing challenges, it's the Holy Spirit can use him and work through him. He's got such a hunger, but he gives place for it. He makes room for it. All right, some people say, oh, I'd love the Holy Spirit to use me. Yeah, well, make room for the Holy Spirit. Do things that prepare your heart and get you ready so that when you're in that situation, you've got something to bring. And you've got something to give. You've got something to share. How do you do that? Well, this little booklet talks about that hunger and desire for the Holy Spirit, and then also how to actually prepare. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 7 copies here, so there's not enough for everybody. Otherwise, I'd just say give it to everybody. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to make them available at the back just with this one thing, because it's not a big book. And you're welcome to mark it up and write in it if you like. But this is my challenge. Read it, obviously do it, because you know without that it's useless. But then come and find someone else to give it to. All right, so it's a not for you to keep. If you really, really, really want your own copy, then contact the ministry or photocopy it or something like that. But I'm because there's not that many of them, I'd love you to get it and then prayerfully think about someone. They could be blessed by this. And pass it on. That way these 7 become 70. And give them the same challenge that when they've read it, pass it on. And if someone comes to you and you've already read it, well, take it and read it again and then pass it on. All right, and it goes, I've already read it. I am full of the Holy Spirit. I know everything. No, if someone comes and says, oh, I should read this book, okay, I will. Take it as I'll read it again, then pass it on to someone else. And let's let the book bounce around a number of times, because you know I challenge. I got copies because I encouraged our creative team many years ago. This is how we prepare for the glory of God. I thank God. This is how we make ourselves ready for the Holy Spirit to work and to move. So that's my particular book, Making Room for the Holy Spirit. I'm sure that they're available. Watching online, let us know, and we can. Yeah, you can go to JSMI's website. And they hopefully will have copies that you can get to. Because like I said, it's a more recent book. It's more recent than I even realized. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're going to receive an offering in a minute, but let's just take room, making room for the Holy Spirit. Why don't you just let the Holy Spirit speak to you for a moment and say, Lord, we've been hearing so many wonderful things. Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I just want to... Hallelujah. I want you to know, Holy Spirit, I'm hungry to be used of God. I'm hungry to run with this. I'm hungry to poke the devil in the eye and make him flee. Hallelujah. I'm hungry to see God glorified. Hallelujah. We're hungry to see the glory of God manifest in this region. Hallelujah. I thank you, Holy Spirit. We're just hungry for that. We're so hungry for it. We have such a passion to see people healed and made whole, to become followers of Jesus, live for him. Lord, I thank you for the challenges that we hear from Dr. Savelle to equip us, enable us. And when we feel, Lord, the pressure, we declare, bring it on, devil, because there's nothing that you can do that will move me, because I have the promise that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I have the promise that this is what overcomes the world, even my faith and trust in Christ. It's what enables me to overcome the things of the world. I'm an overcomer. I'm going to walk in victory. Holy Spirit, just equip, stir us. Hallelujah. Father, let me become so excited. Lord, let me give place to things where I just become... I think of what Dr. Savelle said. He said, Lord, he just wanted to be not just, he wanted, if you're doing something in the earth, he wanted to be in on it. In fact, he wanted to be one of the first ones doing it. He wanted to be in on it from the start. Holy Spirit, we love his hunger, but I thank you that, Lord, now we put up our hand and we say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Can we stand just for a moment? Hallelujah. Just for a sec, could you guys just do How Great Is Our God? We're going to finish with your song. But just sing How Great Is Our God, Cam, if you can just lead it. I just really believe God wants us to respond. And there's a couple of people God has particularly put on my heart that I want to get pastor to come down and to pray for. But I just want you to take what you've heard. And even before we finish, the challenge today was not just to honor a man. It was to say, what can I do with the message? What can I do with Brother Jerry has lived his life in front of us. He's walked his journey. And now it's up to us to take on that baton. And he passed that baton very significantly to our church that last Sunday night meeting that he did before he flew back. And it was such a powerful meeting. And I just really believe God wants us to say, Lord, he wants that faith. He wants that life of integrity. He wants that having done all the stand. Oh, you know, my city got a bush. Just let's just sing How Great Is Our God just for a couple of minutes. Hallelujah. Shalana my city kick a see.
Lord, we'll see how great. Great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Lord, we'll see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Though we'll see how great is our God. Oh Lord, oh so great, how great is our God. Our God, and oh, we'll see how great is our God.
Let's lift him up, church. He's the name above all names.
Yes, you're the name above all names. and you are worthy of our praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God.
Oh, you're the name above all names. You're the name above all names.
You are worthy of our praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God. Yes, you're the name above all names. You are worthy of our praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God.
Oh, how great is our God.
And how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Yes, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. How great is our God.
Keep singing that, church. How great is our God.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And oh, we'll see how great. How great.
Well, we're going to receive an offering. Paul says, or not Paul, it was talked of Paul when he was come down to Corinth, or Athens, come down to Greece anyway, not sure what city it was. He was on the second missionary journey, and he said he was working. Obviously, whatever finances they'd given, he was needing just to work. But it said when the others came down from Macedonia, and we know it was from Philippi because Paul, when he wrote his letter to the Philippians, says, the gift that you sent, which was so above what I needed, it was just brought me from what I didn't have enough to more than enough. And it says from that day on, he began to speak and share daily, no longer having to mix his work as a tent maker. Put that aside, that wasn't his plan. His plan was always to do that, but he just didn't have an opportunity. And I appreciate many reasons we give, but one of the reasons we give, bring our tithes and offerings, is we are supporting getting the word out. It's so the word can be shared freely, and those that are appointed and needed are able to do that. And you know what the Lord put on my heart? He said to take the offering that comes in today and we'll sow it into JSMI to get the word out, to be be a blessing to them. So let's make today's offering. What money comes in today, we are going to give to them to continue to get the word out. Hallelujah. Because that's what we're called to, but we're going to sow into them. Because we know that God then would supply all our need according to his riches in glory. Hallelujah. The Philippian church sowed into Paul, and Paul said, and God will supply your need. Hallelujah. According to his riches in glory. So we are going to sow into them because we love the message and the word, and we are supportive of getting that word. I thank God that they can produce books like this, just little booklets, books like making giving birth to a miracle, which becomes someone's textbook on how to live in faith. I appreciate that they're re-releasing some of these classic books, making them fresh. They're releasing some ministry material that hadn't been released yet. He had things in the pipeline, messages and things that he hadn't yet got into book form. Maybe we can speak to them, get hold of that other message when he was, because I don't think there's any books or anything about that. And they could grab that message and fashion it into something, you know, because the word then can just go out. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. Caitlin, come and just join me. I know we're going to pray over this offering before we receive it. And we're setting it to getting the word out. I know. In your voice, strong and pure. Hallelujah. You know, it's like, oh God, but her voice, and then God's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know.
Amen. Well, thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you, Jesus, that it is a privilege to give. Lord, that we are givers. Lord, just like Brother Jerry so showed in every aspect of his life, God, that we are born, Lord, to give. Lord, that is your heart, to bless others. Lord, that we are blessed to be a blessing, that we are here to give. Lord, and I thank you, God, it's an honor to follow that example today and to give. Lord, we give with joy. God, we give not even to get something or with agendas. We just give because we love to give. Lord, as a church, we love to give and to represent your heart. Lord, and I thank you, God, that we give to JSMI, God. Lord, and I bless this offering. Lord, may it go to good work. I thank you, Lord, it is blessed in Jesus' name. It multiplies in Jesus' name. We speak right now, speak to that offering, and we command it blessed in Jesus' name. We say multiply. We say go further than you should ever be able to go in the natural, because you carry the blessing of God. You go right where it's needed. Lord, it carries and brings the word of God. I declare this offering, Lord, helps bring the word to people who have never heard it before in the name of Jesus. This offering helps bring the message and hope of Jesus, Lord, to areas, to people, Lord, that right in their time of feeling like they're giving up, that's when they get the word of God. That's when they hear the message. That's when they hear the message to keep standing. Lord, I thank you, God. Now we speak to those people that are going to be blessed by this in the name of Jesus, that are going to hear the word. Lord, we call them disciples and followers of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for those who feel like giving up. They're going to receive the message of hope. Lord, their spirits are going to be strengthened in Jesus' name, that this, Lord, multiplies and blesses people. Lord, in Jesus' name, it's a blessing to JSMI in Jesus' name. Lord, and I bless every person that is given. Lord, every person that is giving, Lord, I thank you, God, as they give freely, Lord, you give freely, Lord, you take care of them. I thank you, Lord, for every need, Lord, is filled in Jesus' name, for breakthrough, as breakthrough is giving, Lord, that you take care of every need for breakthrough, that breakthrough, Lord, is taken care of by you, Lord, and we just give freely, knowing that you've got us in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Come up the front, we'll put the buckets here on one this side, one on the other. Sing this one more time, then we've got Jay's going to sing that song the Lord gave him for Brother Jerry. Hallelujah.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great, how great.
Amen. Well, isn't that's... She thinks you're weird. So you don't get that excited about giving. Yeah! I did it. I got my seed in the ground. Hallelujah. We just got some breakthrough seed in the ground. Hallelujah. Chris and I just planted some extra seed that's going to cause some harvest. We're excited. Woo! Amen. I have four more books here. Five more books here. Who would like to be one of the first five? This is, don't feel bad, because you're going to get it and then read it and pass it on. So we've got one over here. Okay, we've got one. You can read both read the same one. Okay, that's what I want to see. People running down to get it. Hallelujah. There you go. All right, so you know what your job is. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to finish this service just by letting Jay lead us in a song, which I think was actually a poem.
Somewhat, yeah.
Somewhat, yeah, when you sort of shared it, it was like, and I said, I know he wrote it, so I just, he wrote the poem, and then it was like, there's a song to it. Yeah, I think he had sort of the words and then put it to the song. And I think it was a gift from God at the time. Great honor to Brother Jerry. So we're going to give Jay a chance just to sing it again, and let's just make this our final offering and think of the great legacy that's been left. Thanks.
Chose to run, let the pearly gates swing open.
Welcome home, faithful.
Thank you, Lord. God, we do thank you, God, so much, Lord, for the faithful one of Brother Jerry. Lord, as a church, we give thanks for him, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for his life. Lord, we thank you, God, for the gift that he was to the body of Christ. We thank you, Lord, that a gift he was to us as a church personally. Lord, but we thank you for his legacy. Lord, that while he is now in his reward, Lord, that his legacy continues. We thank you, Lord, that his legacy continues through each and every one of us, that we can take that message out to our worlds, take it to our families. Lord, we thank you for Jerry's Civil Ministries. Lord, we pray a blessing upon them. Lord, may they go further than they've ever gone before. I pray for every person in that ministry, Lord, that they take the legacy, Lord, and it expands and it grows and it continues to multiply just as was Brother Jerry's heart and is your heart. Lord, we thank you so much, God. We just give you all the thanks, Lord, for the blessing of his life, God, and his legacy that continues on. Lord, we pray for the Seville family, Lord, even as they come up to this weekend, Lord, and all that they will be walking through as a family. Lord, we just pray your protection over them. Lord, we pray, Lord, your comfort and your grace. Lord, a joy, Lord, that can be only from you. Lord, a grace that can carry them through. Lord, we just bless them in Jesus' name. Lord, and I bless your people at Breakthrough, Lord, and I thank you, God, for each person represented here, those online, those in the room. I pray them, pray for them, Lord. May they be blessed this week. Lord, may this be a week of your favor. May this be a week of standing and not giving up. Lord, for those that might have come in today discouraged, may they walk out victorious. Lord, may we get back up. Lord, may we keep taking ground in the Spirit this week. Lord, I thank you, God. Lord, may we don the armor of God this week. Lord, may we take everything, Lord, that we've learned today and take it into our lives, take it to our families, take it to our workplaces. Lord, may this be a week of breakthrough, of favor. In Jesus' name, amen.